Good evening, everybody. When I told Michael that I'll be preaching from Psalm 121, he said, "Oh, I put that to music a few years ago." And he sent me the link, and I said to him, "Please sing it for us tonight." So thank you. Certainly doesn't do any harm for us to reread that, slightly different version, but you're welcome to turn there in your own Bibles or on your device or to follow up on the screen. Brothers and sisters, let's hear God's holy word. "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Well, at the beginning of 1808, Napoleon Bonaparte was at the height of his power. He controlled most of Europe, either directly by conquest or by treaty or by subjugation. And one of those countries that he had invaded was Portugal. If any of you know any history at all, you will know that Britain and Portugal have got the world's oldest diplomatic alliance, and it's still active today, and as of this year, it will be 637 years old. So it's for that reason that Sir Arthur Wellesley was appointed commander of the British forces in Portugal. And he arrived there on September the 1st, 1808. The most important among his orders when he was handed the command was that he was to drive the French out of Portugal, out of Spain, and back into France. His ultimate goal was to push them past the Pyrenees mountain range that separates France and Spain. So for the next 5 years, he fought numerous battles, and you know, he actually never lost one battle. But he was always in the back foot because of political infighting back home. He had poor supply situations, and the French had many more troops than he did initially. But the whole time, he was focused on that Pyrenees mountain range. By 1813, he had secured plenty of political support back home. He had secured excellent supply lines, and he had secured high-quality soldiers that he had trained exactly as he wanted them to be trained. And finally, on the 21st of June 1813, he inflicted a massive defeat on the combined French force at the Battle of Vittoria. By December that year, he was over the Pyrenees and into France. By keeping his ultimate goal in mind, by receiving all the help that he needed, his path led to victory. We're going to learn this evening that the life of a child of God is similar to this. We'll learn that Psalm 121 is about a child of God trusting in the protection and guidance of Almighty God and having full assurance that God will keep him at all times on his journey to Mount Zion. So let's have a look, as I normally do, a summary of the passage. If you're a child of God, then the Creator will be the source of all your help, keeping and shielding you securely on your pilgrim walk and guarding your soul safely into eternity on the heavenly Mount Zion. So I want us to take a step back just for a moment to look at the structure of the book of Psalms. Psalms are divided into five books, which correspond with liturgical requirements of the temple. And the Psalms were compiled as a complete volume after the Israelites had returned from exile in Babylon. Psalms 120 to 134 were called Psalms of Ascent. They were sung by the Hebrew pilgrims as they made their way up towards Jerusalem to take part in the annual festivals. So I want you to picture the scene. Throughout the land of Israel, thousands and thousands of pilgrims slowly making their way from their farms and their villages and their small towns, preparing their hearts to worship on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and they're walking through wild and dangerous terrain. This psalm would have been especially poignant for so many years because the Jews had not been able to undertake that journey during the exile. So when they returned from exile, they were able to embark on that pilgrimage once again. Can you imagine that sheer joy they must have been experiencing as they walked with their families, their friends, their fellow pilgrims, telling stories, singing together, and as they made their way to Jerusalem. And one of the songs they sang was this psalm. Friends, my desire this evening, I desperately want you to be greatly encouraged. I want you to be comforted as we meditate on this psalm. My prayer is that as we work our way through the psalm, you'll come away with a greater sense of God's loving hand guarding you and guiding you on your pilgrim walk. I pray that as a child of God, you will regain a sense of peace and of reassurance in God's power at work in your life. So, four brief headings this evening in our meditation. If you're a child of God, then firstly, He will be the source of all your help. Secondly, He will secure your pilgrim walk. Third, He will be your shield in all circumstances. And fourth, He will keep your soul for eternity. So, firstly, if you're a child of God, He will be the source of all your help. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, Yahweh, God Almighty, who made heaven and earth. The pilgrim has entered the path and is now embarking on that journey to Jerusalem. He's anticipating worshiping God in His holy temple. But the journey is perilous. So the pilgrim looks to the mountains where Mount Zion sits and cries out to the only source of all help, to God Himself. Note that the pilgrim doesn't actually get his strength from the mountains, or even from the temple, but he gets it from the God whose temple is in the mountains. And not only does the pilgrim know where his help comes from, but he also knows why his help comes from God only. We see this because he immediately appeals to God's power and sovereignty. He says, "The Lord who made heaven and earth." The reason the pilgrim can get help from God is because of God's overwhelming, glorious power, undisputed sovereignty. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Friends, it's so easy to get overwhelmed by our day-to-day struggles. We can get so easily caught up in the difficulties that we face, the deadlines that we have to meet, the crises that come our way, the demands of the present moment. And we can become so entangled in the dense forest of the immediate surrounding chaos that we lose sight of the source of all our help. It takes discipline and effort to pause in the midst of that storm, to look up to the mountains and to realize that the strength it takes to overcome those chaotic struggles comes only from Almighty, Sovereign, Creator God. And for us New Testament believers, Mount Zion takes on a special significance. Psalm 2 verse 6, God says, "But as for me, I have installed my King upon Zion, my holy mountain." We have Christ as our Lord, our King, and our Redeemer. Isaiah says, And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. When the angel appeared to Mary, he said, he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Dearly beloved brothers and sisters, only our Creator God can be our source of all help. Lift your eyes to the mountains. Call upon the name of the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, Satan will endeavor to keep our eyes upon our sorrows that we may be disquieted and discouraged. Be it ours firmly to resolve that we will look out and look up, for there is good cheer for the eyes, and they that lift up their eyes to the eternal hills shall soon have their hearts lifted up also. So now that the pilgrim knows where his help is coming from, he focuses on walking the road of his pilgrimage. And it is here that we learn that if you're a child of God, then he will secure your pilgrim walk. Verses 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I don't know if you noticed, but the first two verses are written in the first person. The rest of the psalm is written in the third person. This is probably reflecting a conversation that's being had between the writer, the pilgrim writer, and the fellow pilgrims around him. They are talking to each other, encouraging one another. This tells us how important the community of believers is to the pilgrim. Beloved friends, how important is our community of believers here to you? Do you gain strength from walking with fellow pilgrims on your pilgrim road, with believers who get their strength from their Creator God, who also long to worship God in the sanctuary, who also need, like we do, constant reminding that the only source for all their help is God Almighty? Let me encourage you to grow in your love for this community of believers more and more every day. But notice also the immense care that the Sovereign Lord shows towards his children. In our pilgrim walk, verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, he will keep your soul. The words that the psalmist uses in those verses that is translated the word keep means that God protects, guards, guides, and keeps secure. This is a promise. It is based upon God's holy character. So as we walk the pilgrim road, we can be reassured the Sovereign Lord will keep his children secure. Fellow pilgrim, take comfort. The Creator God not only redeems you, but he guides and guards your every step. Not only does he do that, but his guidance is never-ending, unceasing, and did you notice, unsleeping, if there's such a word. The assurance that God is always awake and on watch is so important that the psalmist mentions it twice. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This reminds us of the prophet Elijah when he challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel to see who was real, Yahweh or Baal, and Elijah mocked them. Came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied or gone aside or is on a journey. I love his sense of humor. Or perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened. Dear child of God, Your God does not slumber. He does not sleep. Your pilgrim walk is secured by him. So thirdly, if you're a child of God, then he will be your shield in all circumstances. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Knowing that the Lord is our keeper, we are fully able to complete our journey to the New Jerusalem, even through the valley of the shadow of death. I'd like you to notice that the writer uses a very interesting mixture of imagery in verse 5, where he says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. There are two images that he's employing in this. Firstly, obviously, is the shade. Ancient Israel was a very harsh environment, especially in the wilderness, and those pilgrims desperately needed shade. So shade is a very important aspect of God's keeping. But also, the right hand was the hand that the soldiers used to hold their swords. Their left hand they used to hold their shield. So when they went into battle, their right side was unprotected and unguarded. So what they're basically saying is that you can take great comfort from knowing that the Creator God protects us at our most vulnerable, against sin, against the evil one, and often in ways that we are never even aware of. Verse 6 is a bit of a reiteration. He talks about the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. And the reference to the moon is most likely referring to the dangers that the pilgrims faced at night. The hidden dangers where bandits would attack them at night and take advantage of the darkness. But it was also especially meaningful because the pagan religions of the ancient Middle East believed that their gods descended into the underworld at night and so left their followers unprotected. But not Almighty God. He never slumbers, he never sleeps. My dear brothers and sisters, the Creator God not only directs your every step, but he is also your daily protection, no matter what your circumstances are. But what about when your relative peace is shattered? Shattered by life-threatening trauma, car accidents, home invasions, assaults, painful health problems that threaten your life or the life of a loved one. Well, the key is found in verse 7, and we're getting there right now. Because fourthly, we see that if you're a child of God, he will keep your soul for eternity. Verses 7 and 8, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this day, time forth, and forever. The Creator God promises to keep the pilgrim's soul for eternity, from this time forth and forever. Note that the pilgrim writer says, this time forever, yes, beloved. Traumatic chaos can completely disrupt our peace and threaten our earthly existence. And we end up possibly fighting for our physical lives in ICU. But God is faithful. He will see us through, either through to recovery or to glory. Because notice that the pilgrim writer does not say that God will remove the harsh sun, nor the fearful moonlit night. Rather, he will give us the strength and will be our shield through those traumas. When we face those trials and afflictions, that is when the seed that was sown will show forth much fruit. Because if you are a true child of God, afflictions will not cause you to fall away, but rather this will be true. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The reason that this is so encouraging is that this perseverance of the pilgrim doesn't depend upon the pilgrim. It depends entirely upon Almighty God. I love how the 1689 Confession puts it. And though many storms and floods arise and beat against them, yet they shall never be able to take them off that foundation and rock which by faith they are fastened upon. But friends, how does this look in our everyday life? Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Friends, do you gird your loins with truth? Do you love God's truth? Do you daily seek to know more about him and to grow in the truth? As a believer, is living righteously important to you? Do you daily confess your sins to God and keep short accounts with him? Do you remind yourself of the glory of the gospel regularly? Are you prepared to share it when you have an opportunity? Do you have the faith that trusts in Christ's finished work and in his promise to be your protector and keeper? Do you know the scriptures so well that you are able to quote passages to yourself when you face temptation and trial and affliction? Maybe try to memorize Psalm 121 so you can use it as a sword to fight the trials and afflictions that might come your way. Dearest believer, we all have this through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it begs the question, are you saved? Can you say with the pilgrim that you know for definite the Lord is your protector, your keeper, your guardian? If not, the promises of this psalm don't apply to you. And I urge you, bend the knee to Almighty God. Humble yourself before him. Because even if you think you are living a good life, when you come face to face with God at the judgment seat, your works will be seen as nothing but filthy rags, because God demands perfection. And he will say to you the most chilling words anyone can ever hear, "Away from me, I never knew you." But if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And friend, if that happens to you, then all of us as believers can rejoice with you and claim the promises of Psalm 121. Charles Spurgeon again says, "The whole church is thus assured of everlasting security. The final perseverance of the saints is thus ensured, and the glorious immortality of believers is guaranteed. Under the aegis of such a promise, we may go on pilgrimage without trembling and venture into battle without dread. None are so safe as those whom God keeps. None are so much in danger as the self-secure." And the reason we are safe, friends, is because in the words of the song we sing, "Christ will hold me fast. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast." And then the refrain, "He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, He will hold me fast. Beloved believer, if you're a child of God, the Creator will be the source of all your help, keeping and shielding you securely on your pilgrim walk and guarding your soul safely into eternity on the heavenly Mount Zion. Let's pray. Creator God, we are so grateful for these Psalms of Ascent. Thank you that in your providence that you, and in your providence and your design and in your will, you have included them in your holy word. Thank you that you have promised, Heavenly Father, to be the source of all our strength, to secure our pilgrim walk with you, to be our shield in all circumstances, to keep our souls for eternity. But Heavenly Father, life is difficult. We desperately need even more strength from you. Please grant us a closer walk with yourself. Because Heavenly Father, our hands hold that pilgrim staff, and our march is towards the heavenly Mount Zion. Our eyes are towards the coming of the Lord, and we place our hearts in your care. Crush every rebel lust, we pray. Mortify every treasonous passion in our hearts. Grant us the strength to put on the full armor of God every day, we pray, so that we might arrive at the gates of the New Jerusalem hearing those glorious words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.